science.
She blinded me with science. But she blinded me with
science.
She blinded me with science.
And with that rather incredible intro, it is time for This Week in Science Today, Twist, as the cool kids call it. That's where I'm joined by Jesse Hawley from the CSIRO. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good morning. I want to know where you're hanging out with all these cool kids.
Mate, again. I just hang out with cool kids. Just, you know, they just...
Are they kids or...
Oh, well, not. When I say kids, I mean the youth.
Okay.
The youth of Australia, the young, hip ones.
All right.
The ones who give names like Twist Out. the ones whose approval means
so
much.
Just you and your girlfriend, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. What's making science news this week, mate?
There's a really cool paper today about seeing rat memories.
Huh?
Yeah.
Seeing rat memories.
For humans, we can see them, yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty... Let me do this. So the research is from the Baylor College of...
Hang on. We haven't cured cancer and stuff like that yet, have we?
Some of them, probably.
But, well, why have we got people working on rat memories if we haven't cured cancer and stuff like that?
Well, memory is an enduring question about our existence, and not only from a philosophical point of view, but also if you understand how memory works, you can understand how to combat Alzheimer's and all this
okay.
Neurodegenerative.
All right, you've shut me up. Well done. Carry on.
I think there are some more worthy targets than the research of memory.
Righto.
Not that we're going to name
That's
any.
Not the end game, is basically it. Yeah. Righto.
No, but these researchers at the Baylor College of Medicine in Texas have shown for the first time specific patterns of electrical activity in the brains of rats, which are linked to and represent specific memories, and they are fear in this experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So the research was published in Nature Neuroscience, and it went a little something like this. So there is this part in the brain called the hippocampus, named after seahorse, because mm-hmm. when you cut the brain open when they first observed it, it looked like a seahorse.
Oh, right, okay.
Hippo being horse.
All right. Is that what they, okay, there you are.
Like a hippopotamus is the river horse.
Is that right? There you are, I'm learning so much. I love this when you come in and talk science. I learn so much.
I love it too. Let's get married. So the hippocampus is associated with memories and navigation and just mm-hmm. knowing where you are at any point. And specifically, relatively recently, they've observed these things called place cells, which are brain cells, neurons inside the hippocampus that are associated with your location at any point in time. So it's your brain...
Oh, wow.
Kind of
a GPS signal almost.
It's a GPS signal, yeah. And also not only that, but the memory of that place and it's specifically where you are. And the neurons that are associated with a certain location, like here in the studio,
mm-hmm.
they're not necessarily next to each other in the brain, as you could imagine.
Right.
They're spattered all over the place within the hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a signature. So researchers can see, they can look at a certain signature of brain impulses of a rat's brain at the place cells, and if they've seen that before, they can tell where the rat is based on looking at the firings of it. So they can see the GPS coordinates and say,
yeah.
hey, the rat is in this part of the room. So they're all unique, all these different mm-hmm. signatures of the location of the animal at any point in time. So with this experiment, what they did was they got these rats and they walked them along a long boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's normally done when you're doing experiments with place cells, but so they did that again. And as it walks along the boardwalk, you can see the different signatures in the brain and hippocampus where the rat is. So you
mm-hmm.
sort of calibrate what the world looks like for the rat in its mind via these signatures.
Right.
And you can see all that. And then they took the rat away. They put a little shock, a gentle shock pad at one part of the route. And regardless of the clout of a shock, it's still a shock.
It's still a shock,
They're
yeah.
shocking.
Yeah, they are shocking,
have you
hence
ever,
the name.
Have you, yeah, exactly. Have you ever, like, shooken a shock hand with the buzzer
I have.
Thing?
Yeah, I used to love those things when I was a kid, so.
Isn't it shocking?
It's terribly shocking.
They evoke all spectrum of emotions. You're surprised, and
yeah.
then you laugh, and you're
yeah.
pissed off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's very true, isn't
yeah,
it? I'm sort of like, you got me.
Shake your other neck.
I'm going to get you back.
yeah.
Yeah.
So... The rat walks back along the boardwalk
mm-hmm.
And gets shocked at
right.
this location.
Right, in this one point, yeah.
This one point. And then, in the future, they get the rat to walk along again, and it stops short, unsurprisingly. If you got a
it's like, nah, I'm not stupid.
in the experiment, they call them shock zones. And if I had like a shock zone walking up to my front door to my house, I'd pretty quickly key on where the shock zone was. Yeah. So like, well, I'm going to jump over this because that's the goddamn shock zone.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So before the rats would get to the shock zone, their brain would hit the signature of them being in that position, which is the brain imagining that it's there, it's being like, whoa, being no, yeah, shock zone, don't want to be there. It doesn't go there. So it's actually simulating and generating for its brain. Its brain may as well be in the shock zone.
Oh, wow. So it's still got the same feeling, the same...
The same, yeah.
What's concept, the word? Reaction? Or, yeah, concept. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the first time we've observed mm-hmm. physical signature of a memory associated with an experience and seeing how the animal interacts with it. So the future, this lab, they want to see how not only does a brain, an animal brain, recognize a certain location, but they want to know how other bits of the brain help it to associate feelings for it to make decisions to know what to do next. So
wow.
the pain centers kick in, and then it says, oh, actually, I probably shouldn't step on the goddamn mm-hmm. shock zone.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop here and go home and have the crackers at the other end.
Yeah. Wow, this is amazing. This is something we've sort of spoken about before. There's so little known about the brain and the inner workings of the brain. It's rather sort of incredible that we're taking these steps and realizing these things, even if it is just in a...
Taking these steps to the little shocking.
Into the shock zone. It yeah. is shocking, isn't it?
not only just reading what this lab, you know, they're saying, what they're going to do next, their future directions for mm-hmm. other experiments... It's everything. Like, they're like, oh, we found this thing. Now what we're going to do is everything else because we still don't know anything.
Yeah, wow. Incredible. Learning so much.
Yeah.
So shocking, as you say. What's our second piece of science news this week?
It's about termite homes.
Termite homes,
houses, hotels. They're actually more like cities.
Wow.
They can fit millions of termites, which is a lot. It's a big city.
Yeah.
In fact, they're so big relative to the size of the termites that it's the equivalent of our largest building, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them stacked on top of each other. So for the termites, it's a big feat. They should probably be pretty proud of themselves yeah. for getting that job done.
So they've built a termite, do we call them a nest?
Mound nest.
Mound yeah. nest, four times, so in ratio to the termite, four times as tall as the tallest human building, which is, remind me again,
the Burj Khalifa.
Burj Khalifa.
So in some ways, they're more successful than us and more yeah. humble, really.
You don't see them bragging about it, do
no,
you?
No, they make existence.
That's incredible. So what sort of size is it actually?
About 7 meters.
7 meters tall. Yeah.
So these are at the top end. Researchers at the University of Sydney have actually looked at the genome of the genus, the group of these termites called Nasutotermes. They've got these funny little beaked snouts, mm-hmm. almost like noddy.
Right,
wait,
gotcha.
Am I confusing you with Mr. Squiggle? Pinocchio, okay.
Pinocchio, Mr. Squiggle, something
like that.
Let's
get one of these wooden men down.
Yeah. some sort of puppety creature.
Yeah. They're not. They're Nasutotermes, but they're also called cathedral termites. They're praying sight in scripture.
Well, no, because they make these incredible buildings.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, they're very big homes. But the researchers determined that they've made three waves of immigration to Australia in the last 20 million years, so they're pretty old school. They looked at their genome and found out that their ancestors would have lived in trees, eating wood like we know mm-hmm. termites love to do, and they would have digested the cellulose in the tree fiber. And often in talking about evolution, when animals colonize an island, they say they rafted over.
Right.
Like, some inexplicable way they got from this continent to mm-hmm. that continent via means, don't know, probably like in a flash flood, trees, vines.
Right.
They got stuck there. But so the termites got rafted, but their home is a tree. So the tree just got knocked in the ocean
yeah.
and a whole civilization, basically, like a million termites. And then they rocked up to Australia 20 wow. million years ago. And once here, they changed their life cycles drastically. So where normally they'd make a civilization in the trunk of a mm-hmm. tree, they adapted to not eat the tree bark, the cellulose, but eat food on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're eating grass, leaf litter, and they began making these epic 7 meter mounds from
wow.
that. They lost the ability to digest wood, eating their leaf litter.
That's incredible. So it's completely changed once they've. We don't completely know how they've come over here, but they've come to Australia.
They've rafted.
Was it 20 million years ago they came to Australia, first of all?
There's been three immigration events, and they think the oldest one may have been 20 million years ago.
Okay, so in that time, they've come over here and just completely changed. how they lived.
They changed everything. Their architecture, their food, homes, noses. Mr. Squiggle.
Incredible. Jesse Hawley, thank you so much, mate.
It's great to be here.
Hey, if someone wanted to find out a bit more science stuff.
Why wouldn't they?
Absolutely. In a nice casual sort of context. Where could they find out more?
Well, we have a new podcast called In Terra Nauts.
Ooh, how are you spelling that?
Good.
I'm going to ask you every week.
It's In Terra, InterroNauts.
What's that mean?
It means like the question sailors.
Yeah, right, the question sailors.
Yeah.
In Terra Nauts.
It's on iTunes. You can go subscribe or listen on SoundCloud. And that's Adrian, me and my co-worker Sophie talking about science.
Awesome stuff. Well, thank you so much for popping in for this week in science today.
Love it.